This is Inside the Hall.
Double tight ends, Francis right wing. The give comes to Cunningham. He hurdles up and in. Touchdown! And then, Schaefer Stadium explodes.
Inside the Hall, a look inside the past.
Back to pass, looking for Francis. Nobody there. Now he shoots over the middle. He's up and touchdown! Darryl Stingley!
Present.
He's going to go the distance. 20, 15, 10, 5, Lawrence Maroney.
And future of the New England Patriots.
With the 18th pick in the first round, the New England Patriots select.
Now, Inside the Hall with Brian Morey and NFL Hall of Famer Andre Tippett.
See, this is what we call taking one for the team. You know, sometimes you have to pick up the slack. You know, a guy like Tom Brady goes down. And then all of a sudden, you know, other guys have to kind of pick up the slack. Well, where's Brian Morey? We don't know yet. So I'm very pleased then. John Rook still here with you for at least a little while. Very pleased to be with Patriots Hall of Famer and NFL Hall of Famer Andre Tippett as we have Inside the Hall for this week. I know, Andre, that it's a busy week for Brian anyway, so I guess we can cut him a little slack since we have this little thing known as a Hall of Fame induction thing going on Saturday, right?
Yeah. Oh,
hold on.
Boom. We're gonna cut him a little slack. He is,
but not much.
Around, he's running around like a. I can't even use the words because I want to be. I just want to be politically correct. So I can't even go there.
It's all right.
He has been working hard. He has been working so hard getting this thing ready. It's going to be an exciting weekend.
Yes.
I'm excited for the Patriots.com radio. Inside the Hall segment, this is going to be awesome, sort of new for me. I've been on a lot of radio shows, but to kind of...
You get the chance to host one.
Yeah.
This is your show.
This is going to be really cool.
What I think is interesting, and I think this is a kind of a neat progression here, is that you guys get a chance to not only talk about the Hall as it progresses and when you induct players. Obviously, Ben Coates is going to be inducted this weekend. And, of course, the reinduction, if you will, of the other 12, I guess, that are members, including yourself, which is part of it. But the other thing you can do with this particular hour and this program every week is – look back at the history, where you've been and where you may be going. And I think that's also kind of cool. And talk about guys, you know, your former teammates, guys that you've played against and with and everything, what they're doing and what they're involved in. And, you know, Patriots alumni. And, you know, I work very closely with Peter Brock. We do college football games together on most weekends. And so he's always telling me about the stuff that Patriots alumni are into.
Yeah, no, they're going to be a host of things that we're going to be discussing. And you know, as you said, you know, there are a ton of my teammates that I keep in contact with all the time. You know, recently out at the Hall of Fame, I had quite a few teammates show up. Don Blackman, Ed Reynolds, Ernie Gibson, Brian Ingram, Garen Veris. Man, it was just, you know, and then the host of college teammates of mine that were out there. So it'll be interesting because I kind of have dibs on where everybody's at, what they're doing. And just, you know, talking about our past experiences of playing this great game that has been very fortunate to all of us. And, it's a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to all of this and, it'll be a lot of fun. But, this weekend, it's
going to be cool.
It's going to be real cool. We're going to have the official ribbon cutting, I believe, Thursday.
The Hall at Patriot Place.
Yes. And, you know, it's going to be myself, Mr. Kraft, Jonathan, John Hanna, and the new inductee, Ben Coates. And that's going to be a lot of fun. I've been inside of the Hall of Fame.
Give us the sneak peek.
I tell you what, it's a very, very interesting place. It's a lot of history. There are a lot of little things that you're probably, if you don't catch it the first time, you'll probably see it the second, third time entering into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
And you'll see a lot of things that you probably miss. But really little unique pictures, photographs of past Patriots, and then there's some connections to some earlier Patriots, to some later Patriots, guys that played in the 60s, say the guys that played in the 80s, there's some connections there, and then you see a lot of the apparatus and equipment and, mm-hmm. and different things that that are there that are really unique, and people are gonna enjoy it. I mean, I've been to Pro Football Hall of Fame, and I've you know looked around in great detail, and then I look at what we've done, and we've pretty much emulated a lot of that.
I was just gonna ask, you know, I'm sure that you've seen a lot of other in doing your research in order to develop this particular project. I'm sure there are a lot of things that you've kind of modeled after, and I wouldn't want to say you borrowed from or stolen from, but I'm sure there's some ideas that have helped generate new ideas in your head. So how much did the Pro Football Hall of Fame, now that of course you've had a great chance to see it up close and personal for yourself and help put your own bust in there, how much has that played in terms of what they've offered to fans in Canton played into the creation of the Patriot Hall of Fame?
Well, I think now everything that people are going to see in the hall at Patriot Place is a reminder of the Patriot history, of the first contracts that were ever sold and signed.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Just a lot of stuff that was just the famous tractor and the snowblower.
Is the tractor in there?
I believe it's in there.
Ah,
I believe
that's
the original tractor that's up in there. You know, there are a lot of those little things, you know, pictures of the first meeting that the original owner took. And there's a group photo of men that were, I guess, basically talking about putting the AFC or the AFL together at mm-hmm. that particular time. And mm-hmm. I believe they were called the Fools Club. So, you know, you see stuff like that, and it's just it's really cool. And then, you know, you can't help but look forward to seeing the stuff of the last three Super Bowl championships that
right.
are going to be up in there, the Super Bowl trophies, some of the rings, some of the AFC championship rings, some of the pictures and photographs and recordings. And, man, it really is I really say that we kind of took what the hall did in Canton, and we've probably kind of added our own little New England Patriot twist that we're so good at, you know, doing.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
And you know, obviously with Jonathan and you know Jonathan, which I'm not sure how many people really realize that have been the mastermind behind the information highway and all the technology that we're going to see there, and you know his thought process on how we can, you know, bring all that stuff into the organization when they first bought the team.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at where we are now from where we used to be, and a lot of it, you know, I know he's had a lot of say. Obviously, you know,
sure.
he's one of the owners.
Sure.
And then, you know, obviously Robert Kraft and his brilliance and his ability to basically take chances. He took a chance when you think about buying the team in 1994. Norm Myra, like I know her, she was not very happy. And, you know, why would you want to do this? And, you know, everything that
it's one thing to have season tickets. It's another thing to buy the team.
But all of that stuff is all panned out. I mean, every chance, everything that he's taken a chance on has all panned out. I mean, you know, even looking at myself, you know, taking a chance on bringing a guy that never played for you into the organization, mm-hmm. getting him involved. But, you know, he went on his gut feeling, and he and I both, you know,
yeah.
can look back on it and laugh and smile. But, you know, there were probably some detractors there
sure.
over a period of time. But I think it's worked out well. I mean, I'm honored to be part of the organization for the last 26 years.
Right.
I've been on a great ride with this organization since his buying of the team and everything. And it's been so cool, man. Watching all the championships, watching the young players come in and develop, you know, looking at Brady, who wasn't drafted very high, but look at what he's done for himself,
right.
the character that he's displayed as a football player, and, you know, watching, you know, young Teddy Bruschi getting drafted out of Arizona,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, now he's become, you know, the captain, the leader, the heart and soul of the defense, and then watching them bring a guy like Mike Vrabel in from a team that basically he was a backup guy because they had, you know, to the credit of the Pittsburgh Steelers, had great linebackers there, and he was a backup.
Yeah.
And look at what he's done for us. He, you know, he's a starter. He's He's played offense, defense. He's been
an all-pro.
He's an all-pro outside linebacker.
Right.
And he's been prominent on offense as well in
right.
Super Bowl games. So it's been unique. It's been a lot of fun. And I tell people all the time, I'm just honored to still be a part of all of this, because it really is a unique experience. Everything that, from the football team to the stadium to the new Patriot Place to the hall at Patriot Place to the, all of these things that we've all been part of and been involved in, it's just been a cool ride so far. And I can't wait to see 10 years from now.
It'll be even bigger and better.
Absolutely.
And the guy to our right here now will probably have less hair than he has right now in Brian Morey.
He just got out of traffic. He texted me and told me he was stuck in Boston traffic, and he just made his way off of 95.
Well,
I
know he's got a humongously big week here this week. And let me also add really quickly before I turn it back over to Brian here, Andre, but this proceeding on Saturday is open to the public free of charge. 3 p.m. is the time right out here at the Hall of Patriot Place, although the inside part won't be open and available until next Monday.
Right.
But we're doing the induction ceremonies outside the hall Saturday, and we want the fans, especially those who are in the area, to turn out, because it's going to be a great day to be a Patriot.
Absolutely. We want all the Patriot fans to come out.
Hi,
Brian. I'm out of breath, guys. Sorry.
No. You
I just sprinted down here.
That's fine.
I got my wristband, though, for Tom Brady's mannequin.
Very nice. Look at that. Yeah.
It's the quarterback wristband right here. This will be on the Tom Brady mannequin in the hall.
So it has all the play progressions on it.
It's got R34 Exxon check and tight SL14 away
S-tip
alert
what,
flip.
What does that mean, Tip? What does it mean? Can you tell?
These could be dummy plays.
It could throw you off, because you get some nosy defensive linemen that are looking at his wrist when he gets to get ready to go under the quarterback.
And they're all staring at his wrist?
They're staring at his wrist after a play, so it might be a lot of dummy plays. So guys here, they may start calling out plays thinking that that's what it's going
to
be.
Well, plus they just gave it to us for the hall, so they know people are going to be looking at it.
Oh,
so,
sure. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so you don't want to get
And they're not paranoid at all. So.
No, never. No, not this place. No, I totally agree. All right, I'll turn it over to you guys.
Thank you very much, John.
Enjoy.
Thank you for holding down the fort.
Right,
I appreciate
soon.
That.
Yes, sir.
So, I think it's going to be, Tip, it's going to be awesome this weekend. And one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, we're trying to plan this weekend. This is the first time we've ever done something like this. And John Rook actually will be one of the MCs on Saturday afternoon when we induct officially or induct Ben Coates officially and re-induct the other 12 members of the Hall, including yourself. And, obviously, you having just gone through an induction ceremony out in Canton for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, not quite as big as the Patriots Hall of Fame,
but it's close nonetheless. Absolutely.
And many people from our organization were out there and witnessed the way they do it in Canton. And we've tried to not mimic what they do there, but certainly
take a little bit.
Yeah. Discuss it and figure out what we should do, how we should do it differently, how we should do it the same. What was your experience out there in terms of, not to get into just personally yet, but in
right.
terms of the operation?
Well, I thought, one, and here's where our fans can really jump into the fray of things, is just being here to support the 10 returning players, family representatives that are going to be here. This is where our fans can get in and simulate what they do in Canton, because in Canton, the fans from the little boy next door to the grandmother who grew up in Canton and saw every guy that go into the Hall of Fame, just to be there and support and basically just give the nod and just say, hey, welcome home. Because everywhere I went, from going to the local store to stop in there and grab something to drink or being stopped by a fan who wanted an autograph, they all, to a man, all said to me the same thing. Hey, Andre, welcome home. Welcome
home.
That
must be nice.
So
I get chills when you say that.
Absolutely. So if we can get our fans to be here and to just acknowledge the players, the guys are going to be staying local. They're going to see some of these guys returning. And here's the kicker to this. This is a special group of guys. This is some of the greatest who ever played for the Patriots. And, the people that voted them in, including myself, was on that panel. We don't take that duty lightly. That's something that, we want to make sure that the right guy is picked for this. And so we can really make it special from a fan standpoint of making it really special for these guys and make them feel good.
Yeah, and I joked, obviously, at the top, and you just were inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, John Hanna, Mike Haynes, Nick Bonaconte, who all will be back this weekend, are Pro Football Hall of Famers. But being realistic, most of these guys, this is the highest honor they'll receive as a player. Many of them will never be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. And I could tell you, I mean, Rosa Hunt, Jim Lee Hunt's widow, they have a, 15 people coming out here. This is a big deal to them, even though her husband has passed on many years ago. I know that I should, Stanley Morgan, I think his wife didn't tell him that there's like 57 people coming in. Right. I hope he's not listening because he doesn't know.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is a very big deal to these players, and this is, as you said, their return home. So it would be really nice if the fans came out the way the Redskins fans came in force out in Canton this year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it'll be good. And I'm sure our fans are chomping at the bits for Saturday for the on-field induction part of the Hall of Fame. And I'm sure they will. But I just, as a reminder, I thought that they should hear that and know that, hey, it really is important to come out and acknowledge the guys, and myself is going to be part of that group. And, it's special being in the Patriot Hall of Fame. It's special being in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And, it carries the same weight for everybody. And we really are, as the hard work that has been showed by all you guys, it really is going to be a special weekend for these guys that are coming back and are going to be honored. There's so much stuff that's lined up for these guys, and they truly will feel special when they leave here on Sunday.
Yeah, and I think one of the things to point out, Andre, is that unlike in Canton, where all of the Hall of Famers stand up and give a speech at the podium, at the microphone, this will be set up more in a way where Gil Santos and John Rook, the MCs for the event, will take groups of three Hall of Famers at a time, sit in stools on the stage, and kind of encourage guys to share stories. It'll be a Q&A. It'll be a less formal, more anecdotal type thing, which, listen, the speeches are great.
Right.
Watching your speech in Canton was just a thrill. But yet, these are stories that you don't get to hear, maybe off-the-field stuff. Some of the stories that you guys told when you recorded for one of the exhibits in the hall, which is our clubhouse exhibit, our Once a Patriot exhibit, which is highly entertaining. I mean, you were there.
Right.
And that those types of stories that fans don't typically get to hear,
no,
that'll be a thrill.
That is. It's going to be a different take on how you do the induction. And I think having, two or three guys come up at a time is going to be special because – I'm always scratching my head when people ask me, oh, give me your best memory. And, you think about it, but it's not until you sit around and you listen to other guys talking about their experiences. And, everybody's experiences are different. I mean, I've experienced, the snowplow deal. I was a rookie that year. I mean, I had no idea what was going on. I saw Ron Myers go over to the guy's signal to go out there. But I was,
which, by the way, the snowplow is hanging from the ceiling in the hall.
I mentioned it earlier. And so, to hear that and know that is like, wow, did he really do that? I'm like, yeah. I mean, no one thought it was against the rule. It wasn't a rule at the time. But since then, with Don Shula at the time being on the rules committee, they made sure next year that rule was out there that you could not do that. But, you think about that thing. I've been part of some very special moments. One being on the very first team to ever take the organization to a Super Bowl, which was one of the highest of the highs for me here. And I've had some low points here. I mean, they're, going, 1-15?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that I was going to jump off a building. But you know what? It was a test of my character. It was a test for a lot of us to show our work ethic and our character just to make it through that season. That was probably one of the hardest things that you had to deal with.
And that's a great point, Andre, because I think that when we look now, Patriots fans are a little spoiled by the recent success, or a lot spoiled, as the case may be. And let's face it, hopefully 1 and 15 never comes again. But there will be 6 and 10s and 7 and 9s in the future. I mean,
it's part of the evolution.
Yeah, and you'd like to think, whether it's salary cap era or not, the one thing that there's a reason that certain organizations tend to have more success than others, and other organizations tend to be struggling to get off the ground all the time. Mm-hmm. And whether that be leadership at the top, whether it be personnel evaluation, whatever you want to assign that to, this organization won't always be contending for Super Bowls. And I think that fans have forgotten that. What was it like to go through that season? I mean, that's obviously the bottom of the barrel. But
Right. But still, it's the fact that it's out there. There are guys that are still in the area that know it, that witness it. And I'm going to tell you what, a lot of us cherish what the teams are doing now and what they have been doing over the last 7-8 years. And it's just been phenomenal. So, you know, it's for us, we knew back when.
Right.
You know, so and a lot of us, we really, truly cherish what we have now. And we understand that the importance of having a very good football team. But also, going in that same direction, now we can look at other teams who've had a rich history of tradition of winning, and we don't have to feel like the third cousin or the redhead, blue-eyed stepchild. We got 3 world championships under our belt. Used to be a time we didn't have anything. We had an AFC championship, but now, you know, we can compare our history to a San Francisco, or to a Dallas Cowboy, to a Pittsburgh Steelers, a host of other teams that have won some world champions, the Green Bay Packers, even the Chicago Bears. Mm-hmm. So we now have our history is now complete in a way that, you know what, we've done some great things, and this organization have done some great things, and how the Kraft family have come in and just made a niche for themselves, and, you know, they've left everything intact. They've left they've left a name for themselves forever.
Yeah, and you've been a part of the organization since your retirement. Obviously, you have a close bond with the Krafts, and that was obvious when you asked Robert to present you with your Hall of Fame bust out in Canton. But let me ask you, I don't know if you ever have these conversations with your former teammates who aren't, quote-unquote, officially part of the organization any longer. Do they ever talk about what might have been? Because now they're watching teams win and say, oh, man, we were so close.
Well, I wasn't fortunate enough to be with John Hanna and Grogan and those guys when they had the one team that they lost to the Steelers that year.
Oh, the Raiders, 76, you mean?
The Raiders that year, yes. And they, you know, listening to those guys and seeing, you know, old footage from that, you know, they were pretty good football team. They were probably a little bit better than a pretty good football team. They were one play away of going on and truly probably winning that championship, winning that world championship. So, you know, it's things like that have been like a thorn in the organization's side for a lot of years, from the 70s to the 80s to the part of the 90s, until they finally, you know, we got on track and we got our first world championship. But it was always stories like that. You know, I can remember in 84 when we all of a sudden things were going, you know, a little south on us, and Ron Myers fired Rod Russ, our defensive coordinator. The owner was out of town. I remember the owner coming back saying, what the hell happened? Well, Rod Russ got fired. Well, he came back, rehired Rod Russ, fired the head coach, and then in comes Raymond Berry. So, you know, you hear these stories, and it's like, oh, my God. You know, and you tell this to people, and people are like, no, that didn't happen. Yeah, it did happen. It's like, you know, you hear about the fans that were, you know, taking the goalposts down Route 1, getting executed.
It's like, not funny, but
yeah, it's not
funny that it happens.
It's funny that
it's
happened,
weird,
but
funny.
It's weird. It's like, how, why? And but it's been things like that. You know, you just, you know, you go on and on. I, you know, in 90, the year that we had the worst record in professional football, a lot of people don't realize that Rod Russ, when they asked him to be the head coach. I've heard people over the years comment, oh, he was the worst head coach ever. Well, people don't realize the league asked Rod Russ to be the head coach, to be that coach until they got things in order. And if you won, if you got some games under your belt, then, you know, maybe something would happen. So, you know, it's like, you know, you hear these remarks and, you know, we were up close and personal to all this.
Sure.
So, you know, we know what the deal was. Here was guy basically took one for the team who, as a defensive coordinator, always believed in that taking one for the team. And, you know, whatever it took for us to play good and get better, that's the way he was as a defensive coordinator.
I find it interesting that you say this because I think that when players go into the hall at Patriot Place, I think that we're going to get some comments from guys and get some different perspectives on things because as we're preparing things, there's a great example. No idea that that was the case.
Absolutely.
No idea. And so that's something that I'm looking forward to as well because the one thing that the Crafts want with this building is an always updating, ever-changing facility that stays fresh. And getting some great player perspective will allow us to do things like that. But you mentioned that 76 game, and I know you weren't a part of it, but I wonder if to those guys, that probably hurts more than the Super Bowl in 85 because – you know, the Super Bowl was a lopsided game. Chicago was virtually unstoppable that year. And, you know, I mean, you guys went in, took the early lead. I'm sure you felt that you had lost them only 20-7, I think, early in the season.
Right.
I'm sure you felt going into the game that you could win that game. But they were pretty much a juggernaut. The Patriots in 76 had killed the Raiders earlier in the year.
Yes.
Killed them for their only loss.
Right.
They had beaten Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, the defending champion Steelers.
Yep.
I mean, they were ripe to go on and win the Super Bowl. I mean, do those guys think that that loss was worse than the Super Bowl?
If you ask those guys, every man will tell you the same thing. And I've heard them sit up and talk about the story where I've been like that fly on the wall, just sitting back, minding my business, keeping my mouth closed, and just listening to them talk about that. And every guy that, you know, I've listened to Sugar Bear, Ray Hamilton, Hannah, Grogan, Nelly, all of those guys that were there that were part of that, man, they all truly believe 100% had they won that game, gotten through that game, going to the Super Bowl, nobody beat them. They had Fairbanks. Fairbanks was a great coach. He had put together a great team. Because you look at the talent on there. Look at all those number ones.
Oh,
this was a team full of number one draft picks who were the best of the best at that time. And, you know, you had so much talent. It's like, how do we, you know. But it just goes to show that one thing, that can hurt you, that penalty. And that's why a lot of those guys, they, you know, not that they were sitting around waiting, but when the table got turned in 2001 in the Tuck Rule,
those
guys, a lot of those guys were chuckling. A lot of those guys, and I've heard them all, it couldn't happen to a better team. And, yeah, I understand that.
But it could never
make up because, you know, still it wasn't them. They felt like something was taken away from them.
Sure.
In a big way, in a huge way. And the game should never come down to a major call like that either. And it did. In a game like that, you should let the players decide the outcome in a game. You cannot ever let a game happen like that where, you know, a major call like that basically
on a third and 19, a third and 18 play to boot. So it was a desperation heave, and Ben Dreith lives in infamy here.
Lives big
in
time.
New England.
Yes, he does.
You know, when you look back at the Super Bowl season, though, I mean, you talk about great memories, Andre, and one of the things that I think comes out, and you allude to this, when you sit around with the fellas and you tell stories, I mean, we know the quote-unquote great moments of that time, whether it be or the memorable moments like the snowplow, like going to Miami and winning the AFC Championship. When you sit down with the fellas and talk and just reminisce about the old days, do they bring up stuff that you don't even remember? You say, oh, yeah, that was a great memory. That's not even something that the fans would remember, but there's all those little behind-the-scenes stories.
Yeah, you do. You hear a lot of guys. I mean, I got all of my old teammates, when I talk to them, we all get together, and, you know, it'll they'll say something to like jog your memory, and you know it'll and you'll think back. You're like, wow, I do remember that. And you're like, man, don't. Well, how about this? Do you remember when this happened? And I'm, wow. And it's so funny that as a player, and we're all different, and we all focus, and our focus and the way we prepare for a game is so different. And there have been a lot of times where I don't remember a lot of things because I was either, once I'm in the game, I'm playing, and then after the game, I'm sitting down on the bench, either drinking, gathering my thoughts, getting off my feet, and getting ready to get back into the game. So a lot of times I just miss things just because I'm not – my whole focus has always been to, when I'm out there, all right, let's mm-hmm. go. We're going to pin our ears back and we're going to get after it. But it's always struck me funny that the recall that a lot of these guys have and how they were able to just bring up different things and jog my memory of things that I just I didn't think about.
You're listening to Inside the Hall with Andre Tippett, Pro Football Hall of Famer, and Brian Morey here on Patriots.com Radio. You know, Andre, I think when we look at this weekend coming up, you know, for the players to share some of those stories and to do that with the public in a way that, you know, when I sit here, you mentioned sitting and just listening and just not saying a word and listening. You know, when you guys, when I hear players like yourself talk, that's what I, and listen, I'm a talker. I have to be a better listener, but I really try to focus on that. Like I sat with Teddy Bruschi, Richard Seymour, Bill Russell, and Bobby Orr one day up at Fenway Park before one of the first pitch ceremonies, and listening to Bill Russell, I mean, it was just like, holy cow. Now, I never saw him play,
right?
But I was like, I'm listening to Bill Russell talk about winning championships. I mean, there's no greater sports moment than that, per se. I mean, so for fans to come down and be able to hear you guys tell these stories is going to be an incredible experience. And one, and I just hope that the guys really open up. I mean, how difficult is it for a player to get up in that setting, I mean, in front of a couple thousand people, and just start sharing stories?
Well, I think at this time in all of our lives that we've all kind of matured and gotten a little bit older, a little bit wiser, and we cherish the time that we've had to play this great game. And I think that a lot of us have all come to the conclusion that, you know what, it's sort of time to maybe share a few stories. So when the opportunity presents itself, I mean, there's still some stories that you probably can't tell because of the gathering out there. But for, you know, for the public consumption of things, I think that, you know, there's going to be some great stories, because you're talking about a lot of different eras of Patriot football. You're talking about the 60s. You're talking about part of the 70s, part of the 80s, part of the 90s. So you got a little bit of everything. So, you know, there's just, you know, guys just can relate, you know, what it was like to play for Hollenbeck or Fairbanks, Ron
Lou
Myers,
Saban,
Lou Saban, Raymond Berry, Rod Russ, Coach McPherson, Parcells 1 year for me.
Yeah.
It'll. I'm sure once the mic is in the guy's in front of his face, it's going
to
be some.
We're
going
to have to kick him
stories.
Off.
Yeah, you may have to kick him off. Because,
start playing the music.
Yeah, I know if Bonacani and Gino get together, there's going to be some great stories being told by those two guys.
Well, I'm really glad that Bonaconte's coming back. Because, you know, I mean, there's a guy that was part of the perfect season in Miami who pops the cork every year. And when the last team loses, which meant the Super Bowl last season, unfortunately for us. But he is a Patriots Hall of Famer. And he actually wondered if we picked the Miami game on purpose to bring him back to honor him this weekend, because we are playing the Dolphins here. But, you know, it's great that so many guys have elected to come back. It may be, for all we know, the only time that all the players actually come back. A guy like Bonaconte, who really is known as a Miami Dolphin or identifies himself as a Dolphin, coming back to share with Geno, with Babe Parilli, his former teammates. Those are stories. I mean, I've listened to Steve Grogan. I've been on the radio with Steve, with yourself, with Peter Brock, guys from your era, but never heard the stories from Babe Parilli and Geno and Nick Bonaconte. So I think, I mean, I wasn't around to watch those guys play, Andre, but I have to think that even young fans are going to be fascinated to come and hear those stories.
Absolutely. I mean, especially if you are a true Patriot fan, and there's a lot to be told. There's still a lot of things out there that, you know, that will kind of make you sit up in your seat a little bit, and you're like, no way. Because we have been spoiled a little bit here in Patriot Nation, which is okay. It's not a bad thing. Nobody's complaining about it. But still, it's always nice to know where you came from.
Absolutely. And took the words out of my mouth.
You know, to know your history and to know how things were back then. I'm sure a lot of our, for me, my wife, her family, her father, you know, he talks about buying his first season tickets for the New England Patriots and how he brought her and the girls to the game. So I'm sure he's going to be excited and rejuvenated when I show him the list of the names of the people that are coming back. And, you know, I've heard him at different times talk about guys like Bob D and Jim Lee Hunt and Vito Parilli and all those guys. Sure. And obviously Geno. And now, you know, having a son-in-law who's part of the Hall of Fame and you know, he's experienced that side of it. So I know he's excited about it. So I'm sure, you know, the other New England fans. And the other thing I say to people all the time is the one nice thing, I don't know if it's a nice thing, but it to me it's been a good thing that there's no other place to play professional sports than New England. I mean, you can go other places, but, you know, the true New England Patriot fans will tell you about yourself as a player. You know, they'll let you know, you know, if you need to step it up. And, you know, I've always told guys, I said, look, I'm going to tell you, I said, you can't make excuses to this crowd of people, the fans out there. You if you're not giving 100%, they are going to let you know about it. And if you're playing well, they're going to let you know about it, and they will let you know about it the rest of your life. If you're a good football player, basketball player, hockey player, soccer player, baseball player, they will support you like you've never been supported before in your life. And it's an unbelievable feeling. I mean, here I am. I've been out of the game almost 16 years. And granted, you know, with all the newness that was happening with this year's and the induction and all that stuff, but up to that time, just when I walk into a restaurant or to a movie theater, or I'm out with my kids at a game, at their games, I still had people come up to me and say, hey, you know what? I just want to thank you for all the good things that you did as a player and all the good years that you gave us out there on the football field. And people are 100% sincere about it, not just saying it because I'm there. And it's always made me stand up and take notice and appreciate the fans and what they've given from their support standpoint. And I've always, every opportunity I get to remind the young players here is, I said, this is one of the greatest places to be. Now, it can be tough. It can be tough. You get run out of town. But if you play hard, and if you do the things that you need to do, and you don't make excuses, you just go play, and you'll be loved forever. You will last. You will be part of history around here. People will never forget you. And, you know, and the reason why I say that, I can remember one of my old teammates one time. This had to be my second or third year in the league. And I was sitting next to him, and he had been injured, been dealing with a few injuries and different things like that. And, you know, I kind of been schooled a little bit on how to talk to the media and, you know, don't make blackboard speeches and don't give anything for, you know, people that can take that away and put it up on the blackboard. You know, the whole spiel. And I'm sitting there. And so they ask him, he says, well, you know, you've been injured and you're not haven't seen you out in the field. Oh, I don't need to practice. I'm a game day player. And when he said that, I'm sitting there.
This was a veteran guy?
It was a guy that came in the league with me.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm like, I just cringed. I'm like, oh, man.
We talking about practice.
Big mistake. I'm like, oh, that's going to come back to bite you. Next day, doesn't need practice, game day player. And I'm like, oh, man, I said, you poor guy, man. And had I known that he was going to go in that direction, I could have probably kicked him or something next to his locker and said, man, don't go there. Don't ever put yourself out like that.
How long was he in the league after that?
Few years, not okay. A long time, not a long time, and it was just it was a guy that had great potential to be a great football player, and it just it was injuries. Sure. I believe had the injuries hadn't caught up with him, he probably would have made a bigger contribution mm-hmm. to the team and to the organization. It never happened, but it's just statements like that.
Sure,
even 20 some odd years ago. And I knew that you just don't make statements like that.
And that's before the internet.
That's before the internet. And, oh, man, they killed. They rode him for a couple of weeks.
Speaking of injuries, the quarterback here, Tom Brady, is out for the season. Did not last one quarter of the season after not playing in a preseason game, so played less than 15 minutes of football before his season ended. Back in 1989, you, Garen Veris, Ronnie Lopez, last preseason game, all go down for the season. I'm sure you can relate to what Tom Brady is feeling right now emotionally, maybe what the team is feeling about that. Granted, it's week one. You can't.
Right.
You got to move on. I guess tell me what you felt and maybe I guess if you could provide some insight into perhaps what's going through Tom Brady's mind at this point.
Well, for me, it was probably one of the hardest times of my life because I was looking at my career, it was like my fifth all pro team, Pro Bowl selection, really a veteran coming into my own, trying to make things happen. Was people were paying attention to me and you were getting the acknowledgement, and then all of a sudden, believe it or not, that 1 year away from the game. And it was like, who is he? Never to be seen or never to be talked about again. In a lot of ways. And I think mm-hmm. a lot of that was because of the direction the football team went in. Obviously, 89, I get hurt. After the 89 season, Barry gets fired. And then, obviously, Rod Russ takes over the team. So, all of a sudden, boom, we went from kind of hovering around, and then all of a sudden we start – falling down to the low man on the totem pole.
Ownership issues.
And so not taking all that into account at that time, I figured, okay, I'm out for a year. I'm rehabbing. I'm going to come back, and, I'll get the same recognition. And, it was hard. It was hard to get that recognition. The fire and the desire and the work ethic was still there, and the opportunity to prove myself was even greater because I wanted to play and let people know that, I haven't missed anything. I ripped my pec muscle. I don't lose anything like that. I'm back out there and I'm playing. But because the team was in such disarray, I fell off the grid in a lot of people's eyes. But the thing that that I thought about leading up to being out for that year was, obviously, the first thing that comes to mind, am I going to ever play again? Am I going to recover from the pec muscle? Am I going to rehab that thing good enough to be able to? I mean, all of that was racing through my head like the first month or two until after the surgery and then started the rehab. And everybody was telling me, Andre, it's healing up real good. You're going to be fine. You start your rehab process and you'll be back to normal. I mean, you're going to be limited in what you can do in the weight room now. And so I went from being able to bench press to just using only dumbbells because I never got back to that point. But all of those things were heavy on my mind at that time was, will I be able to play again? Wow, my career is going to be over. I mean, I had so much more left to do. And, mm-hmm. But I think that once, he has the surgery, and they go in and figure out what's all in there and what needs to be done, I think then it's going to be a matter of, okay, how soon will I be able to start working and rehabbing? And then the big thing is how I'm going to hold up on the contact. I mean, the same thing for me. I mean, how am I going to hold up now on the contact out there? Will I be as strong in my upper body with my arms and my hands, which were a major part of what made me, you know, pretty good at what I did from an outside linebacker standpoint, being able to take on blocks and the tight end and the pass rush. So all of that stuff came into play with me.
I remember talking to Ted Johnson one of the years he ripped his biceps muscle. And, you know, Ted's an emotional guy, very open about his feelings, not like a lot of players who are pretty tight about that stuff, at least publicly with the media anyway. Mm-hmm. And Ted talked about being out of sight, out of mind. That was his quote.
That's right.
And how hard that was. Is that as difficult for a player as those other things you just talked about, wondering whether you're going to be back? What's going to happen? Will I be as good? Will I be as mobile? Will I do the out of sight, out of mind part? Because the team does have to move on. They can't say, oh, no, Andre's out. There's 16 games to play.
Well, something like that gives you an opportunity to kind of show your commitment to the team. The funny thing about that was I left Foxborough and went back to the University of Iowa.
A lot of guys do, though.
I went back and enrolled.
Oh, you did?
The University of Iowa. I had 16 hours. So I went back. I periodically came back to get checked up by the doctors, but I was rehabbing and strengthening and because I was able to do a lot of things once I got back in, but I had to retrain that muscle again. So I got away. I went back to the University of Iowa. I finished up, got my degree, and I came back for a couple of mini camps. And, you know, but, yeah, it was tough not playing to play that year.
Now, you started to say that it kind of can measure your commitment. And I think, especially in this area, the fans certainly look at it that way. Like, how come Tom Brady wasn't at the fourth preseason game? You know, right. How come he's not out there supporting his guys? A lot of times, and correct me if I'm wrong, because this is maybe my impression or my perception, I sometimes think the coaches would rather some of those guys that have long-term injuries not be around as much, because everybody knows how fragile each guy is and that every Sunday could be it. So to not necessarily see those guys that have long-term injuries around all the time, you know, maybe isn't such a bad thing.
Absolutely. I was going to – I'm glad you reminded me, because I was going to bring that up. It depends on the philosophy of the coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I don't know what Bill told Tom, and so I don't assume to guess and know. I know during the year of 89 – Barry wanted me around. He wanted Mike because he knew I was one of the leaders.
Sure.
On the team. So he wanted me there in that locker room on the flights and being around and pushing and motivating guys. So that was one perspective. And like you said, I've heard about other coaches that, you know, if a guy's hurt, you know, from a mental standpoint, that might be a reminder to a guy that's healthy, that's out there playing, that all right, whatever type of injury you have, you know, there's a chance that I might get that. So they don't want you out there. Don't come out in the field. Get your rehab mm-hmm. in. Get your film work in. Do whatever you got to do and move on from there. So it varies. All depends on what the head coach, what his philosophy
is. Yeah, and I've seen guys here.
Yeah.
I've seen guys here disappear for the year.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be Mike Compton or, you know, some of the guys over the years under Bill Belichick that have gone. And I, to be honest with you, not covering the – I don't know if Tom Brady's around or not.
Right.
I assume that he will be rehabbing here and whatnot and certainly coming in to visit Dr. Zarin's and the team trainers and doing what he needs to do here. But I do wonder if from a leadership or a – quote unquote another coach perspective, yeah, if he'd be around and maybe it won't be on game day, but just in the film room with Matt Cassel.
Who knows?
Right.
Who knows? That's when we'd like to be that fly on the wall.
Well, Andre, it's going to be a lot of fun this weekend. 3 o'clock ceremony Friday Saturday afternoon rather, in the plaza between the hall at Patriot Place and CBS Scene Restaurant. Public, free, open. Come on down, see the Hall of Famers. I think the one disappointing part of it will be that the hall will not be open to the public that day because of all the alumni and their guests coming in. The hall is reserved for them after the ceremony. It will open to the public on Monday the 22nd. I hope. No, I'm just kidding. It will open on the 22nd, and it's going to be awesome. I'm so excited for this weekend, and I can't imagine what the players are feeling. And this every Tuesday is going to be the fastest hour in radio because listening to you tell stories and share anecdotes and just talk about your playing career and being able to make the comparisons between now and then is going to be special.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Looks like fun.
All right, that'll do it. For Andre Tippett, I'm Brian Morey. This is Inside the Hall on Patriots.com Radio.